One extra one. There, there may be more in the back.
I'll go in the back. Next to you for a minute, see if I can read. Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
We have a light here.
This light isn't working, it seems. Right.
Don't know that.
There's it. I don't need one. I mean, I'll be okay as long as I have one.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll deal with this as best we can. morning, everyone. Good morning. I would like to welcome you to this session here at APHA, a session sponsored by the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Other Drugs section. And the title of this session is The Death of Heath Ledger, Media Blip or Teachable Moment, a Public Health Response to the Troubling Trend of Prescription Drug Abuse. Most of you probably recall that the famed actor Heath Ledger died last January. And many of us began to wonder, despite the tragedy of the situation, is there any good that can come out of this? Is this just a media blip, just news media coverage, and another celebrity having problems? Or can we use this as a call to action? A call to action much like when Magic Johnson declared he was HIV positive. Or Len Bias died of a cocaine overdose 22 years ago this past summer. Is there an opportunity here for public education, public instruction, and for that matter, policymaker education? Both at the federal level and with a lot of states, we're going into a period of transition. So can we make sense of the data we have before us, both on the nature and extent of the problem and the remedies by way of not only public education, but policymaker information education and policy change? So we've assembled a panel here today, a good panel that has some real expertise in this particular area. And I will introduce them in the order of the presentation. First, speaking on pharmaceutical and illicit drug mortality in the United States, trends and research issues, Dr. Marcy Sorg. She is director of the Rural Drug and Alcohol Research Program at the Margaret Chase Smith Policy Center at the University of Maine. And following her, Kathy Ellis, who is manager of the California Prescription Drug Monitoring Program at the California Department of Justice, will speak on prescription drug monitoring programs, an overview, and the California experience. I know the California experience has had some pretty major changes the last couple of years in terms of easily accessible information in real time, et cetera. Then I will talk on mass media and public education approaches to reducing demand. I'm Bob Denniston from the Office of National Drug Control Policy in Washington, D.C. And then finally, Michael Botticelli will provide some responses, kind of try to tie this all together, talk about gaps we might not have covered, and then we'll have an opportunity for questions and answers. Each of the presenters will be about 20 minutes, then Michael will respond to our presentations. Let me first then introduce Dr. Marcy Sorg, who is going to give us some information on pharmaceutical and illicit drug mortality in the United States, trends and research issues. Marcy?
I really can't do all of that in 20 minutes, but that's all right. We'll cover the high points. I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. Recent celebrity overdose deaths have drawn public attention to problems that have emerged with prescription drug misuse. These celebrity tragedies are mirrored every day in the lives of ordinary citizens as the rate of drug-induced deaths climbs. Most of these unintentional poisoning deaths are, as we will see, due to the pharmaceuticals as well as combinations of pharmaceuticals with each other and with illicit drugs and alcohol. This pattern of drug-induced deaths is relatively new and requires new policy and surveillance approaches within public health and public safety. The complicated context that includes prescribers in the supply chain presents particular problems. We will focus on two of the deaths in particular, Heath Ledger and Anna Nicole Smith, because they are characteristic of the emerging problem. The cause of death in Mr. Ledger's case was acute intoxication due to combined effects of prescription drugs. Thus, no one drug could be singled out as a cause. Rather, the multiple drugs on board acted synergistically to cause his death. Note that his toxicology findings included two narcotic analgesics, or pain medications, oxycodone and hydrocodone, and at least two benzodiazepines, sometimes called tranquilizers or anxiolytics, diazepam, which is Valium, and alprazolam, which is Xanax, prescribed by various physicians in the UK and US. All can depress respirations in high doses. You will note that Anna Nicole Smith's cause of death is very similar, acute combined drug intoxication. She also had an abscess, possibly also septicemia from repeated self-injections of growth hormone and vitamin B12. And she had a viral infection of her digestive system. The toxicology included chloral hydrate, generally prescribed for sleep. It is a central nervous system depressant, and higher than therapeutic doses can produce low blood pressure and depressed respirations. It was prescribed in the liquid form, and she sometimes did not measure what she drank from the bottle. How many of us have done that? The toxicological level was not particularly high, but one of the metabolites had accumulated to toxic levels. Diphenhydramine is just Benadryl, an antihistamine sold over the counter and is often used for sleep as well as for allergies. It is a central nervous system depressant, but it was at therapeutic levels. She had 3 benzodiazepines on board. Norditropin, temazepam, and oxazepam are also drugs in their own right, but they are likely, in this case, metabolites of the Valium. The benzos were present at therapeutic levels, not toxic levels. Certainly, the combination of these drugs would cause additive effects, depressing respiration and blood pressure, possibly also producing cardiac arrhythmia. The increased non-medical use of prescription drugs has caused an increase in accidental poisonings, and they're second only to motor vehicle deaths. As you will see, the increase began in the 1980s, which is a while back, and quadrupled between 80 and 2000, and then accelerated, quadrupling in just the last 5 years, 01 to 05, for which we have national data, which you can see here. And it shows the rising rate in overdose deaths per 100,000 using vital statistics from death certificates. And you can see the acceleration here, and then particularly right here. Here, accidental deaths are combined with those of undetermined intent to calculate deaths per 100,000 by state. There is a remarkably large range from a low of 1 in North Dakota to a high of 17.5 in New Mexico. Maine, which I'll talk about later, is 10.9. Morbidity and Mortality Review, my co-author examined unintentional drug deaths from 99 to 04, again using vital statistics data. He found that most deaths, 60%, were among those of middle age, 35 to 54. Also, death rates in rural populations grew 82% over the study period. The 5 states with the most increase were West Virginia, Oklahoma, Maine, Montana, and Arkansas. The coding system, the ICD-10, doesn't specify particular drugs or a death certificate circumstances, such as whether the drug was prescribed or not. This map shows survey data from the National Survey of Drug Use and Health. The respondents were age 12 and above. And it shows the percentage of those who admitted to non-medical use of any prescription drug during the previous year. And that percent varies from about 4 to 7%. And I superimpose some of the data from the PLASI studies that I mentioned earlier. Within that study, young adults, 18 to 25, were asked if they had used prescription analgesics such as OxyContin. It was mentioned specifically non-medically in the past year, and 12% had. 53% of those had obtained them for free from a friend or relative. 2% of the entire population of young adults met the criteria for dependence or abuse. And even among those folks, 37% got their drugs for free from a friend or relative, and 20% bought them from a friend or relative. 13% said they got it from one doctor. The National Vital Statistics System's multiple cause of death data set, which is a partial data set, revealed that the increase in deaths that we've seen since 2000 was due not to illicit narcotics, but to prescription opioid or narcotic painkiller. So it's really the prescription opioids that are driving this train. And here's another look at that. In this group, Palazzi looked at the first mentioned drug on the death certificates and found that over 50% were among pharmaceutical over-the-counter drugs. And most of those were prescription opioids. You can see that the illicit drugs are in the minority. Down at the bottom, the unspecified narcotics, that's because when death certificate toxicology includes morphine, it's morphine slash heroin because the heroin degrades to morphine right away, and so you can't tell the difference. What are the backstories? What's with all this increase? Prescribers have been required to pay more attention to pain relief. This is a good thing. It's also got consequences. Primary care prescribers have increased the use of benzodiazepines for anxiety and insomnia, often prescribing it beyond the suggested 30 to 90 day window. Direct-to-consumer advertising has influenced cultural beliefs that physical problems should be solved with medication. With fragmented care, there is potential for multiple interacting scripts from multiple providers and no integration. The patterns of death vary across states. That's important. But overall, polydrug misuse is increasing, sometimes in combination with illicit drugs, and the culprits are narcotics, benzos, and SSRIs. Prozac's an example of that. The complicated toxicologies, as you saw in the two celebrity deaths, create nonspecific death certificate language, like multi-drug toxicity, without mentioning specific drugs in many cases. Here's a picture of retail sales to hospitals, to pharmacies, and practitioners of particular key opioids, opiates. And you can see that the only one that's gone down is codeine, which is considered to be an old-fashioned drug. And the other ones are all going up. And this is national data. Several national surveillance systems produce drug-related mortality data, including the National Vital Statistics System we mentioned, the Drug Abuse Warning Network, and the Community Epidemiology Work Group, which I will not be talking about the last two of those today. No time. Here's a quote for surveillance. The foremost problem for those federal monitoring programs is the lack of active, up-to-date surveillance of prescription drug abuse. That means particular drugs and knowing whether they're a prescription or not. This has created a lot of problems with medical examiners and coroners. They don't often have easy access to medical history or prescription history, even though they have legal access. They don't have access in a lot of states to the prescription monitoring program, even though half the states have those programs. And so they're kind of between a rock and a hard place in investigating these deaths. The U.S. has about 3,200 medical examiner and coroner jurisdictions. It's a state function, not a federal function, and those systems differ a lot from state to state and jurisdiction to jurisdiction based on their budgets, their cultural practices, and the expertise that's required by law of those offices. The national surveillance data are thus somewhat limited, and state data vary a lot from state to state. National patterns are seen locally, but there are important differences that affect public health efforts to prevent overdoses. And now I'm going to talk about Maine just a little bit. Maine has similarities to the national trends, but it also shows that increase in overall intentional and unintentional deaths due to drugs, especially since 2001-2002, with the rates near or exceeding motor vehicle fatalities. In Maine, the demographics are similar to what was mentioned, 67% male among the accidental deaths, and the average age is 38 to 40. Teens are rare, but they're taking the drugs, they just don't die from it. Frequent comorbidity with substance abuse, particularly in mental health problems, particularly are common. And there's a higher proportion of divorced and unmarried. Older and sicker individuals are more vulnerable to drug toxicity. All right. Here's a quote or a slide from Hempstead, which looks at New Jersey to compare with Maine. And you can see that in the substance abuse area among accidental deaths, 90%, for example, have substance abuse problems, and a quarter of them have mental health problems. And if you look at suicides, that's up to around 60%. Overall patterns in Maine, and we're back to Maine, are that most deaths are due to one or more pharmaceuticals, usually a narcotic. Methadone is the most frequent prescription narcotic. But pharmaceuticals differ in the risk, supply, and diversion techniques, especially at the state and local level. And states differ in policies that affect death, that affect drug use and statistics, particularly death investigation or prescription monitoring. This is Maine's prescription drug program in operation just since 2004, and you can see every year the prescriptions for all of the controlled substances categories have gone up. Here is a combination of all of the analgesic narcotics, and you can see that hydrocodone is the largest, oxycodone is next, and methadone only 3%. Here are some raw numbers in that same light comparing the two drugs, and I just want to show differences between drugs here. And you can see that there are more scripts with oxycodone, there are more calls to poison center, more law enforcement seizures. And if you look at the death row, though, you'll see that there are more deaths with methadone despite the lower numbers. This is a slide which shows the percent of decedents that had a prescription for the drug. If they died from methadone, 16%, oxycodone, 63%, and that's a big difference. In other words, the methadone was more likely not to have been prescribed. The combination issues are different. And methadone is more likely to be a single drug causing the death. It is more likely to be used with cocaine because it's long-acting and the cocaine gives a stimulation in the early period before the methadone really takes effect. Note that a quarter or more are combined with benzodiazepines. I want to look just a little bit at the New England states, the other two states in northern New England in particular, their medical examiner systems are all three state medical examiner systems, and they practice about the same way. The populations are similar, and you can see some differences, though. You can see that Maine, which is the blue line, increased a lot earlier than the other two states in terms of the rates, although they've converged here at the other end. In terms of how many of the deaths were caused by prescriptions, Vermont leads the pack, 91%, and Maine's not far behind at 86, with New Hampshire a little bit lower. Here's a look at just methadone and rates per 100,000 of methadone deaths, and you can see that in 2004 there was quite a difference in the three states. They've converged somewhat, and New Hampshire has had a recent upsurge. In terms of the benzodiazepine role, and this may surprise you because a lot of people think of benzos as pretty benign. A quarter of the deaths in Maine and New Hampshire are due to benzodiazepines alone or in combination, usually in combination with other drugs, and only 14% in Vermont. Overdose are just the tip of a very tragic, large societal iceberg that includes addiction, crime, the cost of death investigation, which people don't usually think of, and the increased medical costs. I'd like to summarize by saying that non-medical use of pharmaceuticals and combinations are causing many deaths, especially with opiates, opioids, benzodiazepines, and alcohol. And there's a need for more national and state real-time, not looking at the deep, dark past, research to reveal the detailed use and misuse patterns. And new patterns with the pharmaceuticals will require complex new solutions, including prescriber and patient education, public education, and policy development, for example, prescription monitoring. I'd like to acknowledge the chiefs of the three states that give me data regularly and the funding for which I am grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcy. I think that's really an excellent overview of the nature and extent of the problem. I know when I talk about this issue with people not in the field, people are really surprised that pharmaceutical drugs are a major cause of death. People think of heroin, they think of cocaine, et cetera, but we know now from the data that's really been superseded by the other drug. Now we're going to hear about the California Prescription Drug Monitoring Program.